Have you ever woken up in the middle of the night thirsty? And I mean like mouth dry, need a drink desperately. Happened to me just last week, Friday night. I had been sleeping a couple of hours and I woke up just like parched. And when that happens, it's not, I guess I'll just roll over or get a drink tomorrow. It's everything within you cries out for a drink. And so, yes, I navigated through the Lego obstacle course. Yes, I faced the blinding lights of the refrigerator, and I drank deeply. Water running down my beard. Because when you're in that situation, it doesn't really matter that much. You don't mind if the water's dripping down because you're so thirsty. And that's actually the exact picture we get in Psalm 42, verses 1 and 2. Let me read those verses for us. As the deer pants for streams of water, so my soul pants for you, my God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When can I go and meet with God? See, that's a heart eager to enjoy fellowship with the Lord. That's someone who has tasted and seen the goodness of God. Every heart is thirsty, but only Jesus gives living water. That's what we're going to talk about today. So in John chapter 6, Jesus has been talking about being the bread of life, but then his words get hard and many people stop following him. He turns to the 12 and he says, "Do you want to leave too?" And Simon Peter answers with really one of the greatest confessions of all time in Scripture, "Lord, to whom shall we go?" You see, Jesus had said in verse 53, as he was teaching about being the bread of life, that unless people eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, they have no life. Now, he wasn't talking about cannibalism. He was talking about believing in his sacrificial death, but the crowd just didn't get it, and many didn't like it. You see, what the crowd loved was free lunch. They loved the miracles. They loved the idea of a king who could maybe fill their stomachs and overthrow Rome. But when Jesus started talking about his terms, like faith in his sacrifice, surrender to his lordship, eternal life based on him, well, the crowd thinned out pretty fast. And I think that's still true today. What I mean is people like the idea of Jesus the healer, or Jesus the moral teacher, or Jesus the inspirational figure. But what about the Jesus who says, "Whoever wants to be my disciples must deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me"? We don't always want to admit our need or give up on our plan or on our path. In fact, sometimes it takes reaching the breaking point. Like a friend of mine who recently couldn't pay his water bill. Don't worry, I sent him a get well soon card. What a wonderful thing. The Lord invites us to come and drink deep from the well of life. Ah, but there are many voices, aren't there? Every day, we have voices competing for our attention, whether it's friends and family or coworkers, our boss, news headlines, social media feeds, podcasts, group texts, critics, naysayers, not to mention the ever-present hum of our own thoughts. And everyone claims to have the answer. This will make you happy. This will make you successful. This will be good for your relationships. This is what you need for your health. So let me ask a question this morning. How do you decide who is worth listening to? Like, whose voice actually guides your life? And of course, I would challenge you. Are you eager to hear God's voice? Are you trusting a God who not only saves, but a God who satisfies? Look, would you say, as the psalmist does in Psalm 42, "When can I go and meet with God?" So let's drink deep now by turning to God's word. John chapter 6. And we're going to pick it up at verse 60. On hearing it, many of his disciples said, "This is a hard teaching. Who can accept it?" Aware that his disciples were grumbling about this, Jesus said to them, "Does this offend you? Then what if you see the Son of Man ascend to where he was before? The Spirit gives life. The flesh counts for nothing. The words I have spoken to you, they are full of the Spirit and life. And yet there are some of you who do not believe. For Jesus had known from the beginning which of them did not believe and who would betray him. He went on to say, this is why I told you that no one can come to me unless the Father has enabled them. And from this time, many of his disciples turned back and no longer followed him. The truth of Christ is unchanged in the face of skeptics. In fact, Matthew chapter 7, we know this teaching from the Lord Jesus in verse 14, where he says, only a few will find the narrow road that leads to life. Like, wide is the gate, broad is the road that leads to destruction, and many will enter through it. But small is the gate, narrow is the road that leads to life, and only a few find it. So we see there that some refused to believe. But that wasn't a surprise to Jesus. He knew. And what he is saying is the truth remains. The words of Christ, the good news of the gospel are true. They're full of spirit and life. And here's the truth. Only Jesus quenches the soul's deepest thirst. Nothing else even comes close. Everything the world has to offer, it's bitter, it's poisonous, it's a toxic facade. Or you could try drinking deeply from what the world offers, but it will never satisfy your soul. So just imagine you're standing in a desert. You're parched, you're exhausted, your lips are cracking, your throat is burning, and suddenly there's a cool spring bubbling up out of the ground. That's the Lord Jesus and what he's offering. In fact, there's a story in the scriptures, John chapter 4, where Jesus encounters a woman at the well. You know what he said to her? He says, everyone who drinks this water will be thirsty again, but whoever drinks the water I give them will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give them will become in them a spring of water welling up to eternal life. Maybe you find yourself thirsty today. Like, you've tried relationships, you've tried achievements and distraction. Maybe you've even tried religion. But your heart still feels dry. Well, that's because counterfeit wells always leave us thirsty again. Why did so many of the disciples turn back and no longer follow Jesus? Because they didn't really want him. See, they wanted what he could do for them. They wanted the gift, but not the giver. That's what happens when we drink from counterfeit wells. You know, they seem to promise some sort of refreshment, but they never truly deliver. In fact, let me share a scripture with you from the Old Testament. This is sobering. It's from Jeremiah 2 and verse 13, and here's what the Lord says. My people have committed two sins. They have forsaken me, the spring of living water, and have dug their own cisterns, broken cisterns that cannot hold water. So again, counterfeit wells will leave you thirsty, whether it's pleasure or money or success. Look at the number one addiction in America, technology. So you think about, I'm going to scroll Instagram or TikTok, or you're thirsty for connection or encouragement or maybe even rest. But an hour later, you've compared your life to everyone else's and you feel even more anxious than before. You're still thirsty. Why? That's a counterfeit well. It's like drinking salt water. Do you remember the scene in Ice Age where they're adrift on the ocean and Sid the sloth, he gets so thirsty, he takes a big drink of water from the ocean and he says, that's a little salty. See, that's an image of drinking from the world's wells. It might look appetizing, but the more you drink, the thirstier you become. The more you drink, the weaker you get. And in the end, it kills you. But here's what the scriptures say. 1 John 2 and verse 17, the world and its desires pass away, but whoever does the will of God lives forever. That's the good news from John chapter 6, the hope of everlasting life. So again, as we kind of close out this passage in John chapter 6, the disciples are grumbling, many turn away. In fact, I imagine a long silence after the crowd leaves, like the dust settles, the smell of leftover bread is still hanging in the air, and then Jesus looks at the 12. So we're picking it back up at verse 67. You do not want to leave too, do you? Jesus asked the 12. And that's not a threat. That's an invitation. He wants disciples, not hostages. And then we see Peter's response. This is verse 68. Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. We have come to believe and to know that you are the Holy One of God. Now I notice that Peter doesn't claim to understand everything. He doesn't say, oh, this all makes perfect sense. He simply recognizes that life is found nowhere else. And I pray that you recognize that today as well. Life is found nowhere else. I pray that the cry of your heart is from Psalm 42 that says, as the deer pants for water, so my soul pants for God. Oh, but see, we have a spiritual enemy and he wants to direct us toward the wrong things. But life is found in drinking deeply of Jesus. Faith is saying, I don't always get it, but I know this much. Jesus alone gives everlasting life. And that is the fountain that I want to drink from for eternal life, for resurrection power, for hope welling up. And it's not a one-time sip. It's drinking deeply every day, like that nighttime thirst I experienced with big, deep gulps. And when I say drink deeply of Jesus, what do I mean by that? I mean, we open his word because his words are spirit and life. I mean, we commune with him in prayer, pouring out our hearts, learning to hear his voice. We worship fully, letting his presence refresh our souls, and we obey joyfully because he makes our paths straight. So let's respond like Peter. Where else would we go? Only the words of Jesus have eternal life. Listen to me, only Jesus can forgive your sins. Only Jesus can calm your storms. Only Jesus truly satisfies. So come to him, drink deeply, and never thirst again.